Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hello!
And welcome to BSP Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we are an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast and proud members of the Podmoth Network. And did I miss something?
And this is a mini-sode.
Yes, I did miss this. It's just very weird because this mini-sode should have actually came out this morning, but I was in a 12-hour rehearsal yesterday, so I didn't have time to record. So wow. We're recording it late today, and we both have day jobs, so we're recording late on the day that it's supposed to come out. So it'll be coming out here in an hour.
Yeah, and so. Both of our voices crack on the hello, because I know mine cracked like motherfucker. It was like, hello.
Oh, I don't even know.
Though. Oh, gosh. Well, if you're new to the podcast, I apologize. And this is a mini-sode. So what a mini-sode is, it's an unedited, one story a piece topic. God, that was just the worst intro ever, and it's unedited. So let me rephrase that. For a full episode, we bring you a paranormal topic with all kinds of stories and information and everything. In the interim week, we bring you our mini-sode, which is one story a piece that teases the upcoming topic. So it's a game where you try to guess what our topic is going to be from these stories. And how do you think this is going to be?
I think... I don't want to... There's something I want to say, but then it'll give a clue... Okay, I'll say this.
It's going to be the same. I was going to say it's going to be what I was going to say. I'm sure of it.
Okay, this is going to give a part of the clue, but not the full clue. So the area that our stories are in are definitely related, and that will be more the where it takes place is going to be obvious. But other than that, I don't know if it'll be obvious.
Oh, so I was going to say that for our faithful listeners who listened to our last episode. There was a massive clue in that last episode. So if you hear what Chris just said and what I just said, and you go listen to that episode.
You'll definitely get it.
Yeah.
Then you'll definitely get it. Yeah, absolutely. And we're also recording remotely, but Chris is an idiot and just figured something out. And hopefully this one will sound much better. But we won't get into the logistics and let everybody know how dumb I am.
Well, you're not dumb, Chris. I'm dumb.
Whatever.
Who wants to go first this time?
I don't remember who went first last time, so it doesn't matter.
I have no idea. Yeah. Paper, rock, scissors. 1, 2, 3, you go.
No fair.
He actually did it.
Okay. I did. All right. So for my story, I actually... it came from three separate websites because there was not that much information, but I kind of gathered a lot of things from those websites. So I'm from openminds.tv, Weird Arizona, and then the phoenixenigma.com. So
cool.
So what I'm telling you about is just north of us here in Phoenix is an area known as Dreamy Draw. This area is an outdoor recreation area mostly used for hiking or nature walks or things of that nature.
have you been there?
Well, yeah, that's where Piestewa Peak is.
Oh, okay. Okay. I figured if it's nature and it's a hike, you've probably done it.
Yeah. Well, there's a claim that almost 75 years ago in October of 1947, not long after the infamous Roswell incident, a UFO crash landed in Dreamy Draw.
Wow.
According to legend, this was an accidental landing as the pilots had some issues controlling the craft, which made a crash landing. I mean, yeah. Like they did. Oh, no, they did it on purpose, actually, you know. Anyways, there are a few legends surrounding this landing, one in which the craft had landed in a landfill further northeast in Cave Creek. Another that it had landed at the base of Piestewa Peak, and yet another in which it landed in one area and then bounced to the other. Anyone who knows the area would be apt to say, how the fuck is that even possible for it to bounce from that place to the other? Because it's not close, but...
No, those are like miles apart. I was like, yep. Wait, what? And also when you said craft landed in the landfill,
yeah.
It sounded like you said crap.
No,
and so
craft.
I was like, the crap landed in a landfill. And I'm like, well, that makes sense.
No, craft.
Craft.
But I digress. The landing at Piestowa Peak is the more popular of the two of the three stories. Shortly after the crash, it was said that two creatures, each about 4.5 feet tall, were found in the crash. The two creatures were said to be retrieved by two men, Silas Newton and a Dr. Gee.
So we actually have names even.
Yeah. These creatures were said to be stored by one of the men in his deep freezer, but not long after, men in dark sunglasses appeared demanding the bodies be given back to them and eventually taking them away. This, like many early UFO sightings, were quickly covered up by the government, supposedly. If you take a drive to Dreamy Drawer, you'll find a Dreamy Draw, not drawer.
Dreamy drawers.
Yeah, my dreamy drawers. If you take a drive to Dreamy Draw, you'll find an unassuming area called the Dreamy Draw Dam, which some believe was built to hide the very site where the UFO crashed. Instead of moving the wreckage, government entities instead built the dam on top of the craft.
Wow.
Naysayers say that it's impossible, but some believers say that this specific dam is completely unnecessary in this area and was only built as a literal cover-up. Despite the claims from believers and conspiracy theorists, local entities claim that the dam wasn't built until 1973, 26 years after the alleged incident. According to a ranger assigned to the area, there was flooding in the area that without the dam could cause immense danger, damage to nearby neighborhoods. The ranger also confirmed that the dam itself was built in 1973. This local legend is believed to have been started by a UFO crash that appeared in a 1950 book called Behind the Flying Saucers by Frank Scully. In this book, Scully wrote all about the experiences from two men called Silas Newton and the anonymous scientist that went by Dr. G.
Oh, interesting. Yep. And his name was Scully.
Yes. And a side note, since you mentioned it, I didn't write it, but it was in the research that Carter, the director or whatever, creator of X-Files, did name Scully after this person.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Much later, it was said that the two men, Newton and Dr. Gee, had fabricated all the stories, and it was believed that they had lied to Scully about everything he wrote about. The two men told Scully about the recovery of the UFO and alien creatures that I had described earlier. Additionally, Dr. Gee had said he was able to examine the UFO and within it found some kind of technology that he was able to use to invent a contraption that allowed him to locate underground oil deposits with electromagnetic energy.
Wow.
So, yeah. Fast forward some 30 years to 1987. That year, a book was published by a Timothy Good called Above Top Secret. This book included a large amount of UFO cases coming from all around the world. In that book, there was a portion entitled Paradise Valley, 1947, in which Good told of the same incident that was found in Scully's book, but also had some additional information. In the book, Scully went on to say he had interviewed a man who claimed to have witnessed Good had went on to say he had interviewed a man who claimed to have witnessed the crash. And this name, his name was Salmon Graves. In Salmon's claims, he stated that he had gone on a hunting trip, and while on that trip, he had encountered a number of tents that were lined up around an unusual domed object. Salmon stated they could not get very close to the area as it was restricted by the Air Force. At that time, Salmon didn't know what was going on, but after reading about the incident in Scully's book, he came to the conclusion that he definitely had encroached upon the military recovering a crashed UFO. All that being said, Salmon claimed to have seen all this in Cave Creek, which is about 20 or so miles north of Dreamy Draw. To make this more confusing, as I said in the book, the incident is entitled Paradise Valley. Well, Paradise Valley is actually closer to Dreamy Draw than it is to Cave Creek. So, as you can tell, this is very confusing and convoluted. So, something to note that could potentially be connected to the claims, and that is a throwback to one of our previous episodes. There are claims from a number of people who say they hear a mysterious hum that comes from the land there, specifically beneath the dam. In my search, there was very little more that was said about this mysterious hum, but I thought it was worth mentioning. So Was there a UFO crash here in 1947? And did it result in this mysterious hum? You decide.
Wow, that is unbelievable. How have we never heard of this before?
I know, totally. Like I said, I was researching something else, and then I didn't use that article for some bad reasons or good reasons for on my part. But
yeah.
Anyways, and I came upon this article, and it was, again, it's very little material, and they kind of repeat the same material on every webpage you go, but I kind of put it all together.
Wow. Well, that's nuts. I can't believe that we live that close to it and have never heard of something, because that's pretty substantial.
Not only that, I've hiked Piestowa Peak a million times, you know, and like never have I heard this.
Yeah, and you never discovered oil or anything?
No.
That's crap. You just discovered some dreamy drawers. I was waiting for something to come out like that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I got tongue-tied.
Hey, guys. I'm Shelby, host of Addicted to Crime podcast. Join us for deep, chilling dives into the evil nature of criminals, and let's take a closer look at their early life and background to see how they got to the day of the crime. This podcast was created in hopes you pay closer attention to your surroundings and hopefully stay safe. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts or else on the website www.addictedtocrime.org. Happy listening. Thanks for your time and stay safe.
Well, that was fascinating. Well, I am going to be taking y'all. Oh my God, I was going to give a direction, but I don't know my directions and I have no idea where Mesa is compared to where you were at. So I'm taking you.
It is east of me about 10, 15 miles.
East. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm taking y'all east to a little place called Mesa, Arizona, and we're going to be talking about Jefferson Park. So, and this comes from three websites, Phoenix Ghosts, Only in Your State, and azhauntedhouses.com.
I've never heard of this park.
Oh, it's a small little one, you know, because in Arizona, there are so many parks. Yeah, so I'm not surprised. So Jefferson Park might seem like any toddler's gridiron, a quaint little spot for kids to frolic about an innocent-looking suburban neighborhood. I know, it was like, that's an interesting word, so I'm using it. By day, Mesa's small playground and park is a beautiful space to enjoy some time outdoors. The park has a ball field, a volleyball court, picnic shelters, and a playground with modern equipment for young children. So by all accounts, it's a great little neighborhood park. However, as the daylight wanes and the shadows move in, the park is only beginning to wind up for some unusual activity that is most attributed to a ghost that is stuck in the park forever.
What?
Yeah, the mood takes a creepy little turn. And they say you can practically hear the somber minor notes of violins in the air as someone switches on a scary movie soundtrack.
Okay.
So, yeah. And so this starts off light. It ends up light. But the legend around the ghost is actually pretty horrific. I'm not sure if it's true. I actually didn't want to look it up in case it was true, because then it would make me sad. So I'm just going to assume that this was not true. But it's said that the park is haunted by a young girl who was raped, butchered, and murdered in the park. And they say that her ghost lingers there forever. Now, as nighttime envelops the park, hormone-infused teenagers and passing grown-ups have often reported hearing the girl's frantic screams, and a pale form often runs by as if trying to flee from her pursuers, which is eek, super eek.
Yep.
Most legends surrounding the ghost say she is most often spotted between 11:30 p.m. and midnight, moving from tree to tree within the park. Okay, so we've talked about ghosts and stuff before. I mean, this one is really creepy, and it is just a normal suburban park. But I did find a Phoenix message board where some people actually listed their run-ins with the ghost. And so I'm actually going to share people's experiences, which were fun.
All right.
So one person said, I went to the park and she said, she came so close to me multiple times. I took an EMF reader. It said there were multiple ghosts around the area. The girl even screamed in my ear. It was a horrible experience and I will never go there again. I brought my ghost box, tried to talk to her spirit, and she admitted to everything they say she is true while I was there.
Huh.
She could even be heard saying that she did not like me. She has turned into an evil spirit over time. When I got home, I felt weird and I went to bed. I then heard a book fly off my shelf. All night then, I slept funny because I heard another scream in my ear. She is real. Now, I do want to say, everyone, that the person who posted this had the worst spelling and grammar of anyone I've ever encountered in my entire life.
So it was a toddler that wrote it.
Yeah. So it was one of the toddlers playing on the gridiron who did that one. Story number two says, I live in this neighborhood right next to Jefferson Park. Although I never saw anything, the few times I was out walking past this park after dark and a little late at night, I got the feeling someone was watching and or following me. I even swore I heard the crunching of leaves behind me like someone was walking through them, but nobody was around. Super creepy feeling, but kind of just blew it off thinking I must be tired, but who knows? All right. Oh, they also went on to say this was actually before I knew about the park being haunted. So I thought that was an interesting note. Third, this person, now this is really weird. My family has owned a house in the neighborhood right by the park. I've lived here my whole life and I never noticed anything strange until recently when my sister went to visit the park at midnight with her friends to do God knows what. After she came back, she started saying strange things about how we shouldn't disturb her. After this, we started hearing loud footsteps in our attic, and I found 5 dead rats up there since.
So those rats were really loud, and then they died.
Yeah, some loud-ass stomping rats. So they say when we called pest control to check the attic, they said there were no signs of life at all, and we were just hearing things.
Oh, okay.
So some creepy things. Now, I finish it off. So this whole site and the message board is all around ghosts and your experiences. And so this last one was my favorite because what they said was, we went in broad daylight and put no effort into tracking this ghost. The park offers monkey bars and a zip line, so that's cool.
And
that's the whole thing. Yes. And that is their, that's their ghost experience. So I'm like, you actually came to the message board to say that. Yeah. And that's the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Oh.
I looked it up to see where it at is. It's pretty far east. It's on like Power and Broadway. So way out there.
Okay. Oh, so that's going to be a drive.
Yeah.
So that's why we've never heard of it. And people, like, I know that lots of cities have parks, but Phoenix suburbs are interesting in that there's like a park like on every corner almost.
Yeah. And they're like...
like a little tiny one.
Yeah. Like it's just like one little lot. I mean, we do have large parks, but then you'll find one that's just like one little lot with like maybe a bench, you know? It's so weird.
That's exactly it. Yeah. It might have just a swing set.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised we haven't heard of that. But maybe we could run by there and also go to Piestewa and look at the Dreamy Drawers Dam.
Yeah. We should go hiking to Piestewa and then see if we can figure that out, because I don't know if it's restricted area, but some people are saying that the parts of it are restricted. So maybe that's conspiracy.
Interesting. Yep. That's interesting. Okay, we'll go. All right, everyone. Well, I think that was really fun and informative minisode. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so everyone, tell us your guess of what you think it's guests. Tell us your guesses about what you think the episode is about, and stay tuned. It's going to be a really good one. We've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
So send us your guesses. Have a good week. Sorry we're late. And bye.